Amen. Well, we have finished up our reading, but we're going to start a new one in a couple of weeks, okay? We'll be starting the prophets of pre-exile. We'll be looking through the prophets of the pre-exile. We'll explain who those are, and we'll have a reading plan for you next Sunday to be able to read along with us. But for today, we are going to, in the spirit of our vacation Bible school, and we are going to have a stellar of a time. Micah, that was for you. That was for you. That was a dad joke. I've got all kinds of them in my pocket. I can just keep bringing them out all day if you want me to. All day long. I can just throw them your way if I want. I will refrain. But we're going to have a good time today. I will. That's our theme. All right, we better get going. You ready? If you would stand for the honor of reading God's word, we're going to be in John, the book of John. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Let's pray. Lord, today I pray that you would just give us eyes to see, Lord. May we understand that you have revealed yourself to us and that we can know who you are and we can follow you and serve you and worship you, that you are the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, Jesus, may you speak to our hearts today. Help me to preach plain and clear, Lord. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I do accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We can turn to the book of Matthew, and we can turn to the book of Luke, and we can read the genealogy of Jesus. We can turn to the Gospel of Mark, and we can learn about the beginning ministry of John the Baptist. We go to the Gospel of John, and John goes all the way back as far as one can to the very beginning. In the beginning. Not just a beginning, but in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know the Word to be defined by John in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, talking about Jesus. Now, 2,600 years ago in the 6th century BC, there was a philosopher named Heraclitus, and he said that you cannot step in the same river twice. He believed, his philosophy was, that life was a constant change. It was chaotic. And so he said that if you go to the bank of a river and you were to dip your toe into the river and pull it out and then wait a few seconds, and then dip your foot in that river again. You did not dip your foot in the same river because the water was flowing. It wasn't the same water. It's always changing. And if life is always changing, then life is chaotic. But he also looked and saw that there's order to the earth, because if everything is chaotic, why are things organized? Why does the world seem so systematic? And so his conclusion was that there was a divine word or mind that was governing over the affairs of the universe. Plato followed that same philosophy, as he believed that the logos, which is the Greek word for word, was the reality that was real, and that everything on earth is but a shadow of that which is real in the divine logos or the mind. When John writes his gospel, he's writing for two audiences. He's writing for the Greeks, to the Gentiles, and also to the Jews. And so when he uses the word logos, he is making sure that every Gentile who would read his letter or hear his gospel would know that I'll tell you what the divine mind is. I'll tell you what the power that's sustaining the world is. It's the Lord Jesus. He's also writing to a Jewish audience, and the Hebrew word dabar is the word for word in the Hebrew mind. And to the Jew, when they read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, to them, in the beginning, takes you back where? To Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God, we're in Genesis. And God, and God said, let there be light. And there was. He said, he spoke by word. Word. And so to the Hebrew, word meant power, the power of God. The very creative act of God. In the beginning, John says to the Jew, was the very word, the power of God. And this word was with God, and this word was God, and this word became flesh and dwelt among us. So if you want to know who created the world, it was the word of God that became flesh. It is Jesus. This is a revelation. This is an illumination. This is telling us who God is. The philosophers had to wonder. Religions existed of all trying to grasp the understanding. Is there a God or are there multiple gods? Man began worshiping multiple deities. Today, people ask, is there a God or isn't there a God? Or whose God is it? Is it the philosopher's God? Is it Plato's God? Is it Immanuel Kant's God? Who is it? Who is this God that we all search for and that people groups all around the world try to discover? It seems that we might be left in darkness, but John says, there in the beginning, The word is going to bring light to the people. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Who is the Word? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus was not a created being, as some cults try to teach. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, God, the Godhead, three in one, in perfect community. One God. Three personalities here existing together. One, Jesus, the Word made flesh to manifest who? All of God. that we use God the Father. Who is he? He's Word made flesh. He is revealed in his fullness in the nature. Jesus reveals who the Father is perfectly in his nature. He was with him in the very beginning, the triunity of God in perfect community together. All things were made, verse 3, all things were made through him. Who's the him? Jesus. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Paul says the same thing in Colossians, that all things were made by him and for him. This universe, the moon, the stars, the sun, the trees, everything was made by him and for him. You were made by him and for him. By who? The Lord Jesus. Verse 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. It tells us that the light came for all men. Well, what light? In him was the light of life. You see, when we look at the world, if we really think, there has to be a designer. I mean, you have to kind of be intentional not to want to believe in an ordered universe, right? I mean, like, how many of you all walked in this morning and you said, what a miracle. Things just came together and created this really neat environment that looked like we were in outer space. Isn't that wild how that just happened? You didn't think that. No, what you thought is you walked in here and you said, wow, our pastor is so creative. Megan, right? No, if you know Megan Tibbs, you know, boy, Megan had to have her hand on this, right? Megan and a lot of some other people that also helped. I don't want to leave anybody out. But you look at all of this on the stage and in the foyer, and you know, someone had to design this. When you look at the stars, when you look at the sun, when you can measure the seasons, and we know that there has to be a designer. That's called general revelation. General revelation. Through creation. And then there's general revelation through conscience. That we all have a conscience. Now, some have a more softer conscience than others. And some of us, as we grow older, we get a hard conscience. But we have a conscience, right? Like everywhere, no matter where you live, if you were to see an elderly person, let's say a 90-year-old lady, standing at the top of the stairs, and someone were just to run and push her down the stairs, there's just something about every single one of us that says what? That's not right. You don't do that. And you don't have to be living in America to sense that. You could ask that question in all over the world, and there's something inside of us that says, that's not right. That's called your conscience. Now, creation and conscience are general revelations that God gives us to make us sensitive to that there must be a God, but then we're in the question of, if there is a God, who is he? Can he be known? That's where we need special revelation or specific revelation. And that's why, as we sing Emmanuel, God with us, that the Word of God, God in flesh came to reveal himself and to be light to the world. It says, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Some of your translations might say, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot comprehend it or understand it. You say, well, which translation is correct? And I say, yes. They both have an understanding of the concept of what that's trying to say. In that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness cannot overcome it. We know this to be true. Every time that we walk into a dark room and you flip the light switch on, if you flip the light switch on, what happens? The room becomes lit, right? If you flip the light switch on in a dark room and the room is still dark, what do you understand? All right, either electricity went out or my light bulb is dead. Because we know that light conquers darkness, right? Anybody a Star Trek fan? Anybody a Star Trek fan growing up as a kid? Or even maybe now that you watch. Y'all know who William Shatner is, don't you? William Shatner. Who is he? Captain Kirk. Famous for the line. That's a real question. Audience participation, trying to get you. What is it? Beam me up, Scotty. Ah, there we go. What a perfect Sunday for this. Have you watched the show, his special, Shatner in Space? It's on Amazon Prime. And a couple years ago, he actually went into outer space for about 3 minutes. And he felt weightlessness. And he was able to look out into space. And, you know, they're interviewing him. And they're going through this whole process. And they ask him about, you know, his time there in space. And he said, the thing that was so impressive to me and the thing that just stood out was how black space is. How dark it is. How black. That it's dark. But yet, if there's just one little star in space, we can see that from Earth. The moon, when it's full, shines bright. The astronauts, as they are in that darkness of outer space, when they look down to planet Earth, they see the glow and the light of the Earth. Jesus, he came to expose people to the truth of who he is, so that they might know the one true God, and darkness cannot overcome it. But also, darkness sometimes has a hard time comprehending it, understanding it, receiving it, believing it. Verse 6 tells us, now, this is about John the Baptist. This is not John the disciple who wrote this gospel. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He came to be what? A witness. What are we supposed to do, church? We're to be a witness. We're to be a witness about the light, because when the light comes, we don't want people walking in darkness. There's no sense in living in darkness if you can walk in light. There's no sense in questioning who God is when you can know the answer. And so John the Baptist was the one to prepare and point the way that when Jesus came, he pointed people to him. That should be what we do, point people to Jesus. And I want you to see why. Look at here, at the end of verse 7. So he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. Look at that. That all might believe. You were made by him and for him. And God desires that you would know him. Peter says it this way in his epistle about the return of the Lord. He says, the Lord is not slow, as some of you count slowness, but he is patient, not willing that any should perish, but for all to come to repentance. The Lord desires for every one of you here this morning, those of you who are watching Facebook Live, he desires that you would know him personally, so that you could live out the purpose for why you were made. You were made to know him and to glorify him. The stars, when they shine at night, they're glorifying God because they're doing what they were created to do. The birds, as they fly through the air and they soar and they sing, they're glorifying God because they are doing what they were created to do. When the fish swim in the ocean or in the streams, they're glorifying God because they're doing what they're being called to do. When your puppy dog or your dog that you have, dog lovers, when you come home and your lovable dog, we have one, Ruby is her name, and what does a dog do when you come home? Dog lovers, dog owners, what are they start wagging that tail immediately. They start wagging that tail, and they get all excited, and they start jumping up and down, and they just want to run and jump on you and kiss you, right? You know, I come home, and Ruby comes, and she's like, Grant, oh, you're awesome, you're wonderful, I'm so glad you're home, and she's just loving on me. And if I've had a real bad day, I just go out of the house, wait about 5 minutes, come back in. Oh, there you are, Grant, oh, you're so awesome, I love you. And when dogs do that, they're glorifying God because they're doing what they were created to do. You were created to know God. Until you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and surrender to him and worship him and follow him, you're not living out the purpose you were created for. You see, you were made in the image of God. In his likeness, he gave you a will, a conscience. He gave you the ability to choose. We have a will. Birds, they don't have, you know, dogs, they don't have a will like we have a will. They don't have a choice like we have. I mean, dogs aren't getting up in the morning going, let's see here, which collar am I going to wear today? Am I going with the blue one or the yellow one or the pink? Yeah, I think I'll go with the pink one. And they don't have a choice. You know, animals aren't sitting around going, I wonder how we can solve world hunger. They're just not thinking that way because they weren't designed to do that. But we were created to be image bearers of God, to walk in fellowship with God and to live out the purposes of God and to rule and reign and steward God's creation. That's what we were called to do. And until we have a right relationship with God, we will never have a right relationship with other people. So we have to know God. And Jesus came so that you might know him, and his desire is that you would know him. Let's go to verse 9. The true light, as opposed to the antithesis, the false light. You know, the Bible says that Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. There are deceitful religions and deceitful philosophies. There are false faiths. There are false gods. But there is a true light. There's a false light, and the world sends out its false light every single day. That phone you got in your hand, full of false light. Full of it. Some of the people you all follow on your Snapchat, they just shoot out false light. Some of those TikToks, false light. But there is a true light. And the true light is the Word. And the Word is Christ. Jesus is the true light, which gives light to everyone who's coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Here's the sad reality. Even though the world was made through him, and even though people were made by him and for him, the world did not know him. The world rejected him. Verse 11, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. John writes this gospel, and he says, Jesus is the true God who took us out of darkness and shined the light of truth to us so that we could know for certain who God is. We don't have to guess. We can know who he is. But the Greeks, they thought it was foolishness. And the Jews, it was a stumbling block. And so as a whole, the world rejected him. Foolish. You mean a God came, died on a cross, wrote, that's ridiculous. To the Jew, that's not our Messiah. Our Messiah is coming back as a conquering king, not as a suffering servant. The very people he came to save and give life to and revelation to, the majority rejected. However, look at verse 12. One simple word here can change your life, but, although the majority of the world did not know him, although he came to his own and they did not receive him, but to all who what? Did receive him. For all who did. There's many people here this morning. You're part of that group. You have received Jesus, Lord. You've recognized that he is the Word that's made flesh. He is the light, the true light. Some of you this morning are still wondering and still questioning and still trying to figure out, is Jesus who he said he is? If you receive him, look what happens. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave, who's the he? Jesus gave the right to become children of God. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Repent, turn, place your faith and hope and trust in Christ, and you will be saved. You will be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and become a child of the living God. How's this happen? Who were born not of blood. Let me tell you, you're not saved because you had a godly grandma or your grandfather was a Christian or your mom or your dad was a Christian. You do not get grandfathered into the kingdom. It's not based on your DNA. It's not by blood, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not from your own desire that you're saved. You know why it's not from our own desire? Because the Bible says that we are dead in our sin. And that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who seeks after God. So in our flesh, we will never desire God if it wasn't for him revealing the truth of who he is to our dead heart. Nor of the will of man, it says. You are not saved by any determination. You cannot save yourself. You say, well, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do this, I'm going to start doing these things and stop doing these things, and then I'm going to earn my way to heaven. That's not how it works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man should boast." So how are we saved? 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Born of God. It is in John's gospel that he will tell Nicodemus, who was a religious leader of his day, what must he do to inherit the kingdom of God? He will tell Nicodemus, you must be born again, or born from above, or born anew. You must be born of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word dwelt there in Greek means tabernacled. Now, most all serious students of Scripture understand that Jesus was not born December 25th. It is more likely that Jesus was born in September, around that time, during the time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Booths. This was the festival that they were to hold every year, where they would live in tents. And it was to remind them of their wandering years in the wilderness when the Lord tabernacled among them. The tabernacle that he gave Moses when they had the tent of meeting, and what happened in the inner holy of holies of that tent, the kabod of God, the glory of God fell and appeared and filled that place. John says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, grace and truth. In the Old Testament, only the high priest could enter into the Holy of Holies and be in the presence of the glory of God but once a year. And even that was a dangerous. The outside of the tabernacle didn't look much like much. It was just leather. The boy on the inside of that tabernacle in the Old Testament, whew, the Ark of the Covenant, would be put in the Holy of Holies there in the temple. Solomon would ask, when he built the temple, he'd ask, Lord, I know you don't need a house. This house can't contain you. And he asked the question, will God live on the earth? He would. Because he would tabernacle among us. And there was nothing really impressive. The New Testament gives us nothing about his outward appearance. There's nothing impressive about his outward appearance. So common it was that, you know, Judas, when Jesus is in Gethsemane, Judas has to identify Christ even at night by just a kiss. But boy, Jesus did not have an appearance that you'd think would be kingly, but inside, he was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the author of life, the creator, the sustainer. He is the Savior and he is the Lord. Full of grace and full of truth. You have to have grace and truth. Our culture today, they love a lot of grace with no truth. Grace with no truth, liberalism. Truth with no grace, legalism. I don't like either one of those, do you? Grace and truth. Grace without truth is looseness. Just everything's loose. Just do whatever you want to do. Truth without grace is strict, where you can't even live. Jesus came to bring grace and truth. That we are a sinner and we need a Savior. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We all deserve death because we all choose sin. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. What comes after that verse? Verse 16. For I have not come to condemn the world, but to save it. Because if anyone does not believe, his sin already condemns. We don't have to condemn the world. The world is already condemned. Our sin condemns us. So I don't need to be the one condemning you. I need to bear witness to the light that there is a God whose name is Jesus, and he made you and he loves you. And can I tell you this? Though the benefit of knowing Jesus is that we don't go to hell, which is amazing, that's not the only reason why Jesus came. He didn't come just to get you out of hell. He came to bring you to himself, so that you could actually live with true life in him and through him, and live a life of purpose and hope and eternal. Jesus does more than just take you to heaven when you die. He gives you meaning and purpose now, because if you don't surrender to Jesus, you're not living out your purpose. And John, in his gospel there, he says he gives us grace upon grace. Not just grace. Grace upon grace. How many of y'all, the longer you live, realize you need the grace of God? And you don't need just a little bit of grace. You need it a lot. And you don't just need it on Mondays. You need it on Tuesdays, and you need it Wednesday, and you need it every day. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God, the only God or the only Son of God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Do you want to know who God is? Look to Jesus. Do you want to know what God believes? Look to Jesus. Do you want to know how you can have a life where you're living your purpose? Look at your Creator. Look to Jesus. He made you. This morning, we have an opportunity to do two things. For those of you who know your Maker, who know the Lord, you've been saved, you are a child of God by the power of God. During this invitation, man, you have an opportunity just to sing praises to the greatness of our Lord. And maybe during the invitation time, you just want to You just want to cry. You want to weep. You want to pray. You want to just sit in silence. But you want to just give him the glory and the honor that he deserves. You might just want to kneel right there where you're at in your seat. If you've never trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior, you're questioning and you're wondering, you're saying, I'd like to know, but I don't know. I'm going to ask you this. If you feel in your heart, if you hear in your mind the voice of God saying, be saved today. Step out today. Come today. Believe in me. Believe in me. Trust in me. I'm going to ask that you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus and believe that the Word was made flesh and he dwelt among us, and that in him is life, and that you would trust him and surrender to him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge who you are. We know you to be the one true God. You are the true light. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through you. And so today, Lord, would you speak to hearts? If there's someone today that does not know you, would you save them? Would you call to them? Would you beckon them? Would you reveal yourself to them? Would you shine the light of the truth of the gospel on their dark heart? And may they see you for who you are, God, and may they call upon your name. And for those of us who know you, may we just say thank you for all that you have done, your sacrifice, your life, and the life that you give. And Lord, we just want to honor you today and worship you, because we were made to worship you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Let's stand. The Lord's moving. He's speaking. Right now, he's speaking to people's hearts. Would you respond as we sing?